Welcome to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. It's our desire to see you cross over into God's plan for your life through the teaching of His Word. Coming up on Crossover Radio, Pastor Eric is continuing verse by verse through the book of Revelation. So join us as we pick up in chapter 10, verse 3, and here's Pastor Eric.
This angel is demonstrating the dominion that he has under the authority of God over the entire earth. One foot on the sea, one foot on the land, because he has a proclamation to make that will affect the entire world. So he demonstrates his dominion by his feet being on the land and the sea. Jesus, of course, having that ultimate dominion. He was the one found worthy to take the scroll and to loose its seals. Jesus has dispatched this angel as a ministering spirit sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. But we see the dominion with his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And it says that he cried with a loud voice, verse 3, as when a lion roars. It was like that. And when he cried out, the Bible says that seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, this is not thunders as, you know, there's a storm upon the earth. It's actually the seven thunders uttered their voices. Notice in verse 4. And so there's something particular about these seven thunders. We're not really given a lot of detail. And as a matter of fact, what they actually said is not revealed. Verse 4 says, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. So interesting. John has this experience of this angel, mighty angel, one foot upon the land, one foot upon the sea. He's got a book open in his hand. He's magnificent in his appearance, even like unto the Son of God. He cries with a loud voice as when a lion roars, and the seven thunders utter their voices. John's like, I'm going to write that down. But John is told, no, seal it up. Don't write it. And so John took the message of the seven thunders with him to the grave. It's interesting how many people want to comment on what the seven thunders uttered. You know, we're so interested in things that we don't know when we have such an abundance of what has been revealed in the scripture. Amen? But people have to, you know, write volumes on what the seven thunders uttered. And you know that when John was released from Patmos, where he received this revelation, you know that when he got back to Ephesus, that's where he pastored before he died, and as he delivered the scroll to the church in Ephesus, you know that there were people that came up and said, hey, John, you could trust me. What did the seven thunders say? Just tell me. It's just between me and you. But you know what? The Bible says that the secret things, there are many things in life that we can't understand, that the message has not been revealed. Confusing things. Usually things that revolve around suffering. If God is in control, then why? Why is this happening? He's all-powerful and he loves me. When you put those two together, it doesn't seem like my circumstances should be like this. But you know, the Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. They belong to our children, that we may do all the works of this law. You know what? What is revealed is that even while we were yet sinners, God demonstrates his own love towards us that Christ died for us. That God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. The Bible says that God is good. Truly, God is good. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with bands of loving kindness, I have drawn you to me. You say, Lord, but I got a couple questions. The Lord says, you know what? You just leave those questions with me and you focus on that which has been revealed. Because that which has been revealed, it belongs to you. And so the seven thunders uttered their voices. John was about to write, but the Lord said, hey, seal them up. Don't write them down. Now, we're getting really to the purpose of the revelation of this angel. As we get to verse 5. Verse 5 says, and the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land, he lifted up his hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea, the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But that in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So this angel, you see that he's raising his hand in an oath. And then in verse 6, he swore. He's taking an oath. He swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it. Of course, that's a reference to Jesus. That's why I don't think that this angel is an appearance of Jesus. I think that he's a messenger of Jesus that's very much in his likeness. We read of Jesus that by him all things were created in heaven and that are on earth, both visible and invisible. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. So as this angel swears by him who created heaven and the things that are in it, that's Jesus. But his oath is this, that there should be delay no longer. He's taking an oath that all the world will know that in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, that there will be delay no longer, but that the mystery of God, which he declared to his servants, the prophets, will be finished. In other words, the kingdom of God and the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ will be established upon the earth. In the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. He is emphasizing that the kingdom will come. And I think that the message of the Lord for us today is that our attention is to be on this fact, that indeed the kingdom will come upon the earth. Notice chapter 11, as the seventh trumpet sounds, in fulfillment of the oath of this angel, we read in verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is an established fact, that there is a day coming when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Look at verse 17 of chapter 11. They say, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. This is an established fact. In the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, that the kingdoms of our Lord shall become the kingdoms, or the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever, and God will take his great power and reign. Listen, today we live in a dispensation of grace. It's a dispensation when the Spirit of God is calling all men to repentance and calling all men to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But there's a day coming when the kingdom will come down upon the earth and the day of salvation will have passed. God will have taken his great power and he will have begun to reign. Now is the opportunity to get saved. The Bible says, "And an acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you." And the Bible also says, "Today." Today is the day of salvation. God has sworn, and he will not turn from it. This angel took an oath in the name of God that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, and he will take his great power and reign. Look at verse 18. We're picking through the events that will be accomplished at the blowing of the seventh trumpet as is sworn by this angel. Look at verse 18 of chapter 11. It says, "The nations were angry and your wrath has come." You know what? It seems to me that there are many in our nation's leadership that are angry at Jesus Christ and the gospel. I heard of a law that was upheld by a federal court that it was unconstitutional to display a cross in a graveyard. You know what? The nations are angry, but there's a day when the wrath of God will come. And when the wrath of God comes in response to the aggression and the anger of the nations, it will be too late to turn it back. Today is a dispensation of grace. Today is a dispensation where God is providing well-being for us. But there is a day coming that though the nations be angry, the wrath of God is going to meet their anger head on. Continuing in verse 18, it says, "In the time of the dead that they should be judged." These announcements are being made at the blast of the seventh trumpet, of which the angel swears that they shall come. The time of the dead that they shall be judged. There is a judgment day where all of the dead will be judged. And the scripture says that all those who are not found, whose names are not written in the book of life, they shall be cast into the lake of fire. This angel is swearing by God that this day shall come in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel. Do you realize that? Do you know that? Are you prepared to stand before God, who shall judge the dead, each one? And your name is either in the book or your name is not in the book. There'll be no defense. "Well, I did go to church." Well, your name's either in the book or it's not. "You know, I didn't live as bad as my sister." Listen, your name's either in the book or it's not in the book. "You know, I live next to a pastor, and when the rest of the neighborhood talked bad about him, I didn't." Listen, your name is either in the book or it's not. So let me ask you, is your name in the book? Because the angel has sworn by God that the day is coming when the dead shall be judged. Today is a day that gives you the opportunity to get your name there. I would encourage you, take it seriously. So, number one, you have taken your great power and reigned. Number two, the nations were angry, but your wrath has come. Number three, the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Number four, that you should reward your servants. Continuing in chapter 11, verse 18, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. That's you and me, the saints. And those who fear your name, small and great. Listen, there is a day coming when all will have been said and done as far as our earthly life. And as believers, we will find ourselves in heaven, saved by grace, crowns of gold put on her head, clothed, being found clothed in the righteousness of Christ, will have white robes upon. We'll be in the presence of God, worshiping him forever and ever. Perfect acceptance before him, seeing the love of our Heavenly Father in his very eyes as he looks upon us. But all will have been said and done as far as our opportunity to serve him, where it will translate itself into a reward. Today is the day that we should be focused on serving our God in light of the fact of coming rewards. You say, well, you know, I don't need rewards. Well, the Bible seems to think you do. The Bible's trying to motivate you that you'll be rewarded. God says, listen, I'm in heaven now. You're not. I know that when you get here, you're going to be stoked on rewards. So I'm telling you now. And I would just encourage you, don't just come to church and leave. Don't just live your life for yourself, but serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time that you have and serve. Take the finances that you have and serve. Take the talents that you have and serve. You know, I want to encourage you to just do that. Next week, we're going to get to the two witnesses. Okay? The two witnesses. But it's interesting. Even the two witnesses were sent out two by two. You know what, you guys? I encourage you, get a friend and decide that you and your friend are going to serve the Lord Jesus and figure out how you're going to do it. Ladies, get one of your lady friends. Get together. Say, you know what? We're going to serve the Lord Jesus. Let's figure out a plan. Guys, do the same thing. Get together with a brother. Figure out a plan. Serve him. If you're wondering how to get started, how to serve the Lord, what to do, well, you can show up. We'll put you to work here. But you know what? What do you like to do? What are your gifts? You know, ladies, you like to cook? Hey, you can serve Jesus Christ cooking. We got a couple brand new babies in the back. You know, you can bring meals over to the families. What do you like to do? You like to work on computers? Hey, you can come by my house, and after you finish with me, I'll send you on to some other people. What do you like to do? Find a way to serve the Lord. Get together with a friend and decide, hey, let's serve Jesus Christ. Let's do something for the kingdom. And just let the desire of your heart, the gifts and the talents that you have, direct your steps. Because there's a day coming when the door will be shut. It'll be shut behind us. We'll be in glory. It'll be wonderful. But the door will be shut on the opportunity to serve your Lord and to build up your opportunity for reward. Don't let it get away from you. Back to chapter 10. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land, he lifted up his hand to heaven. And he swore by him who lived forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth, the things that are in it, the sea, and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. No longer shall there be opportunity. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. The kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of heaven, will come down upon the earth, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, verses 1 through 7 are one paragraph and one experience. Verses 8 through 12 are a second paragraph and a second experience, but both contain the same message, and that is that the kingdom of God shall come upon the earth. Look at verse 8. It says, "Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again, and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land." So, John, the guy's close to 90 years old, man. You got to know that God's got a sense of humor. Here's this elderly man, and here's this massive angel, face like the sun, feet like pillars of fire, clothed with a cloud. When he speaks, it's like a lion roars, heaven responds in thunder, and God says, hey, go take the book out of his hand. He's like, me? Yeah, John, you can do it. Go on. You got to know God has a sense of humor. So I went to the angel, verse 9, and I said to him, give me the little book. And it sounds a little direct, but you know John's voice was trembling as he said, give me the little book. And the angel said back to John, take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, it was in my stomach, it became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. So here's the deal. I believe that what is in this book is the revelation of the coming kingdom. It's the rest of the story ahead of us in the book of Revelation. John eats this book and he sees the return of Christ in chapter 19. Jesus riding triumphantly to the battle of Armageddon to slay his foes and to set up his kingdom. He sees the millennial reign spoken of in chapter 20. He sees the creation of the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down upon it and the water of life proceeding from the throne and the trees that bear the fruits and the presence of God's people with the Lord. And he sees the glory and the blessing and all that comes with the coming kingdom. It's like honey to his mouth. He tastes what's coming in the book of Revelation and the coming kingdom. But as you know, we're finishing chapter 10. We've got 11 through the beginning of 19 to go. And between chapters 11 and 19, there's still a lot of pain and destruction and judgment before the kingdom comes down. And so the immediate taste of honey is the coming kingdom. But as it settles in its stomach, he realizes, you know what? We still have seven bold judgments to go. The Antichrist is still to come up in chapter 13. The destruction of Mystery Babylon in chapter 17 and 18. The Battle of Armageddon, it's still in between where I stand today and what I taste in light of the coming kingdom. So really, both messages are one, kind of like the dreams of Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh had two dreams as Joseph interpreted them. He said, Pharaoh, your dreams are actually one. So the experiences of John here are one. The angel swears with an oath that in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom, shall come down upon the earth. And as he eats the book in the second paragraph, the message is, the kingdom shall come. It's as sweet as honey in his mouth, but bitter in his stomach, as there is still judgment to come before that kingdom actually is established from John's perspective. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of service, John is told to eat the book, and then he is told, you must prophesy again. That's how it is for us, guys. We need to be eating this book. Eating the book and then go and prophesy. The Bible says that the spirit, that the testimony of Jesus, rather, is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus. We need to be eating the book and then going and testifying of Jesus. Because there's a day coming. It's been sworn with an oath that in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God should be finished, and there'll be delay no longer. But the eternal kingdom of God will have come down upon the earth. The door being shut, us in heaven, and the unbelievers locked out. Today's the day for us to be eating the book, the Bible, taking it in personally, eating the book, and then going into the lost world and proclaiming the message of salvation.
You've been listening to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. If you're interested in hearing this message again, go to our website, crossoverradioministry.com, or call us at 949-705-9272. We'd like to make available to you Pastor Eric's teaching outlines from the book of Revelation. If you'd like a copy of Pastor Eric's teaching outlines from today's study, it's available at our website, crossoverradioministry.com. And while you're there, send us an email to let us know you're listening at crossoverradioministry@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to write, you can do so at P.O. Box 1673, Brea, California, 92821. Be sure to include the call letters of this station so we know where our radio ministry is being effective. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time on Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble. Crossover Radio is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Crossover.